Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
Morning, Lambert. You guys are so responsive. It always throws me. And I knew preparing. I'm like, it's not like the kids. They'll actually respond, but it still throws me. Good morning, both here in person, but also to use online. I'm really thrilled that you guys chose to join us this morning. My name is Kenzie, and I am joined up here by Jesse, Todd, Brenda, and Bob. Bob is a friend of our kids' church who likes to join us on these partner trips, so we decided that he should get to join us today. As we share how we were inspired by God's work through our partners in Moldova. If you're newer with us and maybe didn't know, we partner with an organization called Beginning of Life in Moldova, although it's actually over there called Urban Center. So after our time here, you may notice that we switch between the two names. Our preemptive apologies. We realize this might be a bit confusing, but just hold on to Beginning of Life, Urban Center, they are one and the same. Throughout our time there with Beginning of Life, Urban Center, I had one verse kind of running through my mind on a loop, Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. But we often make passages unhelpful or even harmful by taking them out of context. So let's spend a minute kind of diving into the context of the letter. One of the main issues that Paul is addressing in this letter is how Gentile Christians should live in relationship with the Mosaic Law, as well as the general Roman culture that's all around them, in light of receiving the Holy Spirit. Things are getting messy. People are holding very opposing views, very passionately. The Roman Empire is always breathing down the neck of the early church, and Paul is feeling the need to step in and clarify some things. To me, it seems like he's also challenging us to change the entire direction of our focus now that we are followers of Christ. A challenge I think we as humans need to be regularly reminded of, as the day-to-day things in life so easily steal our focus. It's so easy to get consumed by looking out for number one, whether that's jumping through hoops to get approval from others, or reducing our relationship with God down to a checklist, or prioritizing success according to the world's definition. We're not immune from this, neither are the Moldovans, and neither were the Christians in Galatia. There's plenty in this letter to dive into, and I'm obviously not going to attempt to do all of that today. I just want to pull on this one string that runs throughout the letter. The world is demanding, the people are fighting, and Jesus is inviting us to a different way of living. Here and now. Not just in heaven after we die, but here on earth. He taught us to pray that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul starts with our tendency towards feelings of guilt, perfectionism, with bluntness. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting this your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? If I may speak for myself here, sometimes very foolish. We know we're not perfect. We know we can't be perfect. And yet we still run ourselves ragged, beat ourselves up, and carry a constant shame over not being perfect. So his later encouragement to not grow weary of doing good, he can't have meant it to shame us into attempts at perfectionism. He seems to know that won't produce anything helpful, likely only burnout, anger, depression, anxiety. Perfectionism is not the answer. So he continues, diving into what it means to now have freedom from perfectionism attempts. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. A quick aside, Jesus tells us that the law and the prophets can be summed up as love God and love your neighbor. I don't think Paul disagrees, but rather is recognizing that his current audience that he's speaking to is not struggling with whether to love God, but rather how to show their love for God through loving their neighbor. He continues, comparing the fruit produced by the Spirit to the fruit produced by religiosity, legalism, and the Roman Empire. The man-made ways of deciding what is important, what constitutes strength, what characteristics should be cultivated, cherished, respected within ourselves and others, compared to the ways of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All things that impact how we interact with each other. These are not characteristics that only impact things strictly between me and God or you and God, but between us because of God. And in the final chapter, he's really putting a point on it. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourselves. You're not that important. We need to stop taking ourselves so seriously. And we need to stop taking the other person, the inconvenient person, the struggling person, the vulnerable, marginalized person that can't return our help. We need to stop taking that person so unseriously. Gentiles being welcomed in as Christians without converting to Judaism first made things complicated, made gatherings more tense, as everyone would have a different level of understanding of why some people are following the Mosaic Law and some people aren't. Complicated, difficult, and wildly outside of their comfort zone. But it was the Holy Spirit inviting them in, so they had to figure out how to do it. A very quick note here that I'll have to find another way to talk about at some point, because I think it's a great idea. It's an idea that Sergey came up with for his service at the Light of the World Church that Beginning of Life is born out of. 12K. Using a metaphor for screen resolution to refer to getting to know people in 12K over 12 cups of coffee. As I said, I'll have to talk more about it later because it's a really great idea. But back to Galatians. We might not struggle with the Gentile Christian, Jewish Christian divide, but we struggle with other divides. Other groups of people that we look down on, likely without realizing it. Other groups of people that we don't take very seriously. Others whom we don't really want to share their burden. Haven't really wanted to listen to their story, their pain, their struggles, especially when we don't see immediate results. When we know we can't heal the pain, we can't solve the problems, or even make things easy. So let us not grow tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Even when it's hard, even when the problems of the world seem too big and too complicated, and I'd rather just focus on myself, my friends, maybe some close family, or even just focus on God and conveniently forget the call to love my neighbors, especially my vulnerable and marginalized neighbors, as how I show my love for God. Even then, keep going. One foot in front of the other. We're not doing it on our own. Jesus is the vine. We're just the branch. And finally, a quick note on the don't get tired or don't grow weary. Being tired is not a spiritual failure. Those of you who know how much coffee I drink to get through the day with a chronic illness, sometimes being tired is just part of life. The encouragement is to not give up. Rest, yes, absolutely, but don't give up. Don't wash your hands of this world that God loves so dearly. Don't wash your hands of the people that God loves so dearly. And our partners in Moldova, they are an inspiring example of this. Life is hard in Moldova. The challenges are many and only growing as Russia's war against Ukraine continues on. Yet they continue doing good for the vulnerable in their community, following God's lead, one foot in front of the other. We got to see it firsthand. And hopefully we're able to lighten the load at least a little bit while we were there, even if just encouraging them that they are not alone. They are not just a budget line item for us. They are our partners in slowly, step by step, working towards God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And yes, I think that is exactly what we experienced during our week in Moldova at the camps. We went there hoping that we could lighten the load, at least for a short time, because we were there for 10 days, and only 5 of those days were the camp days. And as the week went on, we also saw that the partnership was not just about us coming to help them, but it was about working together. And it was about building relationships with the staff and the translators, learning from one another, solving problem-solving together, and seeing God at work through all of us. And one thing that stood out to us throughout the week was how often God showed up in the small details. It wasn't one big dramatic way that he moved one night, but it was in the things that could have gone wrong but didn't, somehow worked out, in the relationships that grew over the week, and in the moments where we had exactly what we needed. One of the clearest examples of the partnership that developed was with Vera, the head of the camps. At the beginning of the week, Vera understandably needed to make sure that we knew what we were doing. We were a new team coming from Canada, all ready for this camp, that she needed to know if we actually planned activities that the 10 to 12-year-olds would enjoy. Unknowing to her that Kenzie's a children's pastor and that I am now a teacher, so we were prepared, but she had to verify that. After our initial meeting, she began to see, oh, you have thought things through. You're asking for the materials. I'm seeing your plans. Okay, I can trust you a little bit more. And by the last day, that trust had grown into a really beautiful partnership. So that last day, we were trying to make homemade bubble solution to create giant bubbles for the kids. And unfortunately, the soap in Moldova was quite different and very runny. And so I realized the morning of, as the children are coming in, that, oh, this is not working. It sat overnight and it's supposed to work, but it is not. So Vera went to great lengths. She ran across the street, grabbed more glycerin that helps to thicken the solution, and went and rummaged around, grabbed shampoo, and really tried to make it work because she knew this activity that we had planned would be really fun. And eventually, it did work out. And the kids were able to make some of the biggest bubbles that we have ever seen in our lives. I've worked with kids for about 15 plus years. And yes, Kenzie can actually show how big it is if you can't see it. That's a clear bubble. But I've literally never seen bubbles that big in my life. So I was like, woohoo! It worked out. It seems like a small moment, but we loved what it represented. We had started the week visiting a team that Vera, as a visiting team that Vera needed to assess, but by the end of the week, we were working together to problem solve and make the camp the best experience possible for the kids. And at the end of the week, Vera became quite emotional, and she teared up and told us how happy she was that we had come and that it had been the perfect week that we had been there. Because the week before, she and only 3 teenagers were running a camp entirely on their own. So by the time we arrived, they needed some help because they had such a small team doing what we just did with 8 of us. So she was blessed by the resources that we had brought and all the activities that we had prepared and was very excited. She even asked if we would be able to stay in contact with her and email her ideas about their camp for August. So that was such a meaningful moment for all of us because it showed that we were not just coming to help for 1 week, but that we had started an ongoing relationship to keep in contact. The camp itself was also a really meaningful way for beginning of life to connect with the children who were not already a part of the church or organization. So about 2/3 of the 10 to 12-year-olds at camp were not connected to beginning of life, and they had just heard about the camp through social media and decided to come. So these children who might not have otherwise walked through the doors of a church or come into contact with beginning of life, through this camp, they were able to experience a fun, welcoming community, hear about Jesus, and build relationships with people who could invite them to continue connecting to the church afterwards. And that was also especially meaningful because these children were new to Vera and the teenagers that were leading the camp. And so it was not as if they already had an established relationship, but in just 1 week, we were all building new relationships with the children we had only just met. And it was so special to see how quickly these connections developed. We were only there for a short time, but the children were asking questions, sharing stories, making crafts for their families, and wanting to connect with the children here at Lambrick. So that was one of the things that made the week so special, seeing how quickly a camp can create space for relationships to form and for children to experience the love of God through the people welcoming them. One of our translators, Olga, told us that getting this translating job had been an answer to prayer. She did not have work at the time and had heard about the opportunity through her brother, who had previously been a translator at beginning of life. And near the end of the week, we were talking about the best parts of camp, and Olga gave us a timid smile and said, "It's not a very camp-like answer, but my favorite part was spending time with you Canadians." And that was also really special to hear, because throughout the week, we were not just running activities and teaching lessons, but we were building relationships. And we also had some really cool moments where it was clearly God working, where we had exactly what we needed. Because one day we had planned to hand out the Canadian keychains that the kids here at Lambrick had made for them and give the Moldovan kids a chance to make a keychain in the Moldovan colors and give it back to the kids here. But that day, more children came than we were told were coming that week. And so Kenzie and Todd looked at each other, and Todd said, "Okay, God, this is a loaves and fishes situation, so we need enough for each child. Let's see how it goes." And so when the second group came to do the craft, there were the exact number of keychains that each child needed. And it was actually more than originally had been made. So just like here at Lambrick, some of the children were incredibly excited about the craft. And one boy, Reuben, asked if he could take extra keychains home for his mom and sister to make. And the children also wanted to connect with the children here at Lambrick. And so they asked, "What are the children's names here at Lambrick? Like, who am I making the bracelet for?" And so that was such a simple thing, but it reminded us that even across countries and languages, children are still children. And they want to make things, share things, and make connections with one another. And so we also saw some really beautiful moments during the English lessons that we taught each afternoon to the 5 to 7-year-olds. So in the morning, it was the camp with the 10 to 12-year-olds. We did lots of activities. And then in the afternoon, it was an English lesson time for the preschoolers. One child had some additional support needs around emotional regulation, and large groups and new adults can be really overwhelming for him, and participating can be challenging. And so he does his best when he has time to warm up and when an adult can use a calm and predictable approach. And so a couple days into the week, we remember looking over and seeing how incredibly safe he had become with Todd. And even with a language barrier, I'm just gonna cry, like, he wanted to be near Todd. And he's like whispering all kinds of things in his ears. And sorry, it's just because I've been working with kids for a long time and I could really notice, like, he's one that's hard for him to do. And so it was clear that God's presence was totally there, because for him to feel safe and to feel so comfortable, that was actually like so miraculous to me to see that. And so we also experienced a wonderful partnership with Andrea. She's a translator for the English lessons, and she was so open to ideas, and the collaboration felt incredibly natural. So we sent up centers for the children to rotate through, and for those who know me, I'm usually one who's fashionably late, this morning included, sorry guys, and I go over time, and I often make last minute decisions of like, okay, what needs to be cut or changed? Oh dear, it's 5 minutes left. throughout the week, as we were doing this, it was literally God that everything was so smooth. And like one day I looked up and I was exactly ending our circle time and I'm like, oh, it is exactly 5:30 and the parents are here. That is not me. That is definitely God. We are ending exactly on time. So as fellow teachers can attest in the room, it is very rare to have everything go exactly as planned and end precisely on time, especially in another country where there's extra time that's needed to explain instructions and translate. So yes, as all we could think is this is clearly not us at work, it's God. At the end of the week, Andrea also became emotional as she told us how happy that she was that we had come. She was so blessed by the resources and activities that we had brought and prepared and laminated some games that could stay there and they could reuse. And I think it was another reminder that the partnership was going both ways. We had gone there to serve, but we were also encouraging one another. Another beautiful moment came through Melina, one of the teenagers who was helping lead the camp. She shared that one of the lessons she was leading had become very difficult. The children were not listening. She was struggling to get their attention. And then she suddenly had an impression to share her own story about how Jesus had helped her to learn how to respond to people in grace and not be so angry. And suddenly, the children became completely silent, and they were really intently listening to what she had had to say. And so that lesson changed because she was willing to ask, okay, God, in the moment, what should I do? This isn't working out. And then she said what God told her to do, her own testimony of how God had changed her and her life. And then last, but definitely not least, there were two children at the camp, Henry and Josette, who primarily spoke English. Henry is the one with the cap that's beside Kenzie. And they were so thankful that we had been there that week. And they asked multiple times, will you be coming back? And they were so excited to hear that we were going to be at camp all week, not just the first day. And for them, our presence meant that they could fully understand what was happening and participate more easily. And for us, it was a reminder of how meaningful even a small thing can be. That language, if you cannot understand a whole camp that's being spoken in Russian or Romanian, it's not very fun. But because we were there, they could fully participate and understand what was going on. I think there's one more picture of Josette, too. So looking back, I think we will remember most about the week is that God was consistently present in the details. So the giant bubbles worked. We had exactly enough keychains. The English lessons went so smoothly and ended on time. We had resources to leave for the next camp, and we had built relationships with people we had only just met. So children who were new to the camp, leaders, and to us, became comfortable enough to share stories, make things with their families, ask when we'll be coming back. And Vera and Andrea both became emotional at the end of the week to express how happy that we had been there and helped them throughout that camp week. None of these moments on their own were necessarily huge or dramatic, but together they made it very clear to us that God was present throughout the week. He was present in the planning, in the problem solving, in the relationships, in the teaching, and in the little details that could have easily gone unnoticed. And so for us, that is one of the things we will remember most about our time in Moldova. God works in many ways, but during this particular week, we experienced him a lot through the small things of consistently working out and his presence being felt in the middle of all of it. And that made this week so much more than just simply running a camp. We got to see God working through the partnership between Lambrick and Beginning of Life, through the staff and translators we were working alongside, and through the children that we were there to serve.
Good morning, church. Yeah, thanks. So as Jesse Ann talked about the time we spent with the team at Urban Center and the kids at the day camp was just amazing. But that's not the only thing that Beginning of Life does. They're involved in many other activities and supports in their community. They are creating programs to support youth outreach and youth leadership. child care and parenting classes, support for special needs children. They host events within the public school, and they provide counseling and art therapy for those suffering from trauma, abuse, and war. Until recently, they were heavily involved in supporting the refugees from Ukraine. But as the refugees get settled into the community and beginning of life supports them more directly as part of their ongoing programs, this is adjusted. A couple of interesting points to highlight here. It really shows how beginning of life pivots and adjusts their resources to meet the current needs of their community. As the needs change, they also change their support. Oh, there's my problem. I'm not wearing my glasses. So what does this mean? So beginning of life in Moldova is really when there's a need, they're the first ones on the ground. They're creating the resources. They're creating the programs. And as other organizations or the government catches up and kind of wholly meets those needs, they then start to step away and lessen their focus on that and see where the next focus is for Moldova. Secondly, beginning of life, they don't build houses or dig wells, and with the move away from supporting the Ukrainian refugees directly, it's really affected their support coming from churches around the world. Interestingly, the main financial support for them currently comes from Canada and Sweden, with that move away from other churches, supporting their needs has had a significant impact on their program, and they've had to decrease their staffing significantly. This makes our long-term commitment to them so much more important and appreciated. I do have to say I am in awe of Yulia, the creator of Beginning of Life. All this started when she saw the number of women with unplanned pregnancies, many the result of assaults or human trafficking. Society's solution was abortions, but at the time, over half of all pregnancies in the country ended in abortion, Yulia knew that was not a solution, and stopping the cycle these women were in was needed. She started providing counseling, and again, I'm in awe of this person. Her counseling center she set up beside an abortion clinic, and she offered free pregnancy tests. So as women came in looking for the pregnancy test, it was just a natural way to start a discussion. It's like, oh, do you think you're pregnant? How are you feeling about that? Are you getting the support and resources you need? Are you in a difficult situation that I can help you with? Or there's resources out there for? So just really smart way to engage and support these women. From there, she then started rehabilitation programs for sexual abuse and trafficking. She started supporting those with HIV and opened an orphanage for teenage girls. Again, all of these programs were not offered in the country at the time. She saw the need. She developed the programs. And then as the government and other entities kind of filled in the gaps and came on board, she moved on to the next need within the country with the support of Beginning of Life. She started providing, Yulia continually saw the need that society didn't even consider a problem at the time. She ultimately came to see that there was a negative cycle from parents to children that needed to be corrected. And she traced that back to when Moldova was part of the USSR and the state raised the children. The state provided the accommodation, they provided the food, they provided the work, and they provided the child care. Moms were expected to return to work quickly, and at the time, children went back or started kindergarten or child support at about 2 months old. So when the collapse of the USSR occurred, children and parents didn't have a history of raising children with the family, which created a cyclical crisis. In response, Beginning of Life is focusing on teaching children and parents life skills and how to be citizens. They have created textbooks to teach these skills, focusing on topics like the family, marriage, relationships, and understanding and preventing human trafficking, to name a few. They have seen great success in this approach, and the manuals they have created are now being used in dozens of countries by other organizations. I just want to highlight that we are supporting them financially and through prayer because they are doing such amazing work for Moldova and supporting other organizations in so many different ways all around the world. Briefly, I wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about the church, Light of the World Church. Their church is held in the Urban Center office, where they offer all their support services. A couple interesting tidbits regarding the church. First is that they don't have a sign anywhere on the building indicating it's a church. This is very intentional to let folks coming to the building for support and counseling and training get comfortable with the team there and the building. And when those visiting take note that there's something different about the people working there, it makes for an easy segue to ask if they're interested in coming back on Sunday to join them for a church service, which I think is very clever. They did mention, and I don't think it's from the Bible, I think it's a hymn, the quote, they will know we are Christians by our love, and that's really what they want to focus on. They don't want people to have preconceived ideas when they're coming about church, what church is or isn't. They want people coming there to experience God and want to join them on Sunday. And it's just, it's amazing to see that in practice. Lastly, the church holds 5 services on Sunday, different pastors, just to be, no need to worry. partly because they hold some services in Russian and some in Romanian, but more intentionally to keep the services small. This way the services can be more personal. They also have a Bible study after each Sunday service where they can dive deeper into the topics presented in the service. It is awesome to see the devotion of beginning of life to the betterment of their neighbors and their focus on God in everything they do. Thank you.
So it really was a blessing for us to see how God's been working through beginning of life, not just in Chisinau, but also throughout the world. As Todd mentioned, they've been producing some books that go throughout the world. I think people in Canada are using it, in Nigeria, all parts of the world. So it's been really amazing. And they also fly out and they do seminars. They do a lot of things online as well to support. Some of you might recall, in 2023, when the team went, we met a young woman named Takmina. She's a vibrant young woman from Tajikistan, which is a very, very small country in Central Asia. So it's probably about 1 million people and predominantly Muslim. So Takmina, when we were there in 2023, she shared a very powerful story about how God captured her heart and brought her to faith and used her to lead others to Jesus. And she's a really beautiful example of how beginning of life invests in young leaders through teaching, mentoring, and ongoing support. In 2023, Takmina felt God calling her back to Tajikistan to launch a ministry for marginalized teen girls and young women, similar to the programs that she'd been learning about at Urban Center. She reconnected with her pastor there, and together they started planning this ministry. So returning home to start Christian ministry sounds really straightforward, but for Takmina, going back to her home country came with some serious risks. So here's her backstory. She was raised by a single mother in a Muslim home. Her father had passed away during her childhood. She grew up with a strong desire to learn Russian as a teenager. She didn't know why. But after searching for opportunities, she went to live with a Russian family in another town who began bringing her to their Russian-speaking church. At first, she attended solely to learn Russian. In time, however, the Lord captured her heart, and she committed her life to Jesus. In her culture, her conversion was viewed as a deep dishonor to her family. And her older brother, who had assumed the patriarchal role in the family, put intense pressure on her to abandon her faith and stop attending church. She describes herself as being stubborn and fully committed once her mind is set. Takmina refused to give up her newfound faith. The pressure escalated when her brother's friends started monitoring her and reported her church attendance to her brother. When she rejected his ultimate ultimatum to give up her faith, he actually beat her severely. Yet she remained steadfast and continued going to church. In a final attempt to break her resolve, her uncle locked her in his home, intending to keep her confined until they could arrange a marriage. And deeply determined, Tekmina pleaded with her mother for help and ultimately managed to escape her family's imprisonment. So to return home after 2 years in Moldova and start a Christian ministry posed severe threat to her life. Yet as heartbreaking as Tekmina's story was, God's hand upon her was unmistakable. Driven by a deep calling, she stepped out in faith, and in the fall of 2023, just after we had left, she returned to Tajikistan and launched a new ministry as planned. So over the course of that first year in Tajikistan, Tekmina built meaningful relationships with local youth and generously hosted those in need. She opened her home to anyone in need, offering them care and spiritual guidance. As the ministry grew to include teen boys and young men, the pastor's son stepped into leadership. And over the first year, the conflict with the ministry became such that Beginning of Life leadership were concerned for her safety and counseled her to return to Moldova. So after much prayer and consideration, she came to the same conclusion. It was difficult to leave the ministry, but she trusted that God had other plans for her. So since returning to Moldova 2 years ago, Tekmina has been working as a bookkeeper for both Beginning of Life and Light of the World Church, while taking evening classes to earn her accounting certificate. I was really delighted when I spotted her across the room during a Sunday service. It was a wonderful time we had catching up with her afterwards, and she was genuinely touched that we remembered her. Tekmina continues to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, without hesitation. Whenever she sees a need, she jumps in to meet it. Blessed with a vibrant gift of hospitality, she frequently opens her homes for gatherings and sleepovers. And true to form, within minutes of reconnecting, she invited us to visit her in her new home. Having spent part of her childhood in an orphanage, purchasing her own apartment was a lifelong dream come true. When we arrived, her table was beautifully set with delicious desserts, including a Tajik walnut cake she made and fragrant lavender tea. Her hospitality and generosity were so evident. When I mentioned how much I loved the lavender tea, she immediately went to her cupboard and gave us a huge bag of tea to bring home. It was really a blessing for us to have this time with Tekmina. Her walk with the Lord was so encouraging. There's no doubt that God will continue to do his incredible work in and through Tekmina. In fact, when we mentioned that we have quite a big homeless population in Victoria, her instant reaction that perhaps maybe she should come and help. The four of us were really inspired by Tekmina's wholehearted devotion to following the Lord. She exemplifies what Kenzie was mentioning earlier in Galatians, never give up on doing good. Tekmina has been set free spiritually and from the social and physical bondage she experienced in the past, and now she's using that freedom to love her neighbors and serve others. And to serve others in love. We look forward to staying connected, following her story, and lifting her up in prayer. Her story is really a testament of how God has used the leadership at Beginning of Life. They have faithfully walked alongside others through ups and downs and through the long haul, serving one another in love.
Beginning of Life are our partners and our friends and an inspiration. And I want to thank all of you for allowing us this incredible opportunity to go and visit them as your ambassadors, for having our back. In fact, Brenda actually put you guys on the back of our shirts as representation of not only that we are going on your behalfs, but also how much we felt your support and care. From fundraising to prayers to reaching out with messages of support while we were away, we really appreciated it. And we are going wildly over time, so I'm going to cut this short. We're going to mess up the slides a little bit. My apologies. But I wanted to let you guys know that your fundraising was so generous that we actually surpassed our goal, and we're able to ask Vlad if there were other projects that he needed help with. And of course, as you can imagine, he had a whole bunch at the top of his head, so he gave us one. At the top floor of their building is a multi-use room that they use for their church services, they use for spaces for the kids to play games, they hold graduation ceremonies, and their speakers and projector were not working very well. You can talk to any of our tech guys who were here before the 5 and 2 project, how frustrating that is. So we were able to bless them with 4 new speakers and a projector. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I also want you guys to know that it's not just us that know that this was a whole church thing and not just a 4-person thing. We received emails from Vlad and Vera and text messages from Sergey thanking us, but wanting us to thank you guys as well, that they are praying blessings on all of us for what we were able, for our partnership over the years, but also for our time over there. They understand, like this was a whole church effort. We were just the representatives. And along with the inspirations and wonderful stories that we have to share, we've got a whole bunch more. That's why we're going so wildly over time. We also carry back some prayer requests. So Eric is one of the 3 youth that helped out all day, every day at our camp after serving at the camp the week before us, and then continuing on to help run a camp for kids with cancer. But during that week after we left, he broke his arm. And then the next day was right back there serving in camp for the rest of the week. Like, it did not slow him down, but he needs prayer. And of course, for the safety, provision, and hope for the vulnerable families in Moldova, they continue to be influenced by the ongoing struggles of the nation, as well as the war in Ukraine. And Beginning of Life is running even more camps and preschool programs that continue on this summer. So they have asked for our prayers for volunteers, for lasting fruit, for welcoming environments, new families to join, and God's provision for the financial sustainability of these programs. And lastly, they have recently completed a ministry training program in Central Asia. Yulia and Vlad actually returned partway through our trip from completing these trainings. Despite the government restrictions, the social pressure, the persecution for following Jesus, they would love our prayer for the lasting fruit of their programs and for God's guidance to establish a new mission network connecting believers in Georgia and Armenia. So let's just take a moment and pray. Holy God, thank you for our partners in Moldova and for leading us into this partnership. Lord, we want to raise up these prayer requests. They all deserve a significant amount of time, and yet we also have to be responsible to the fact that there are other things happening in our church today that we need to watch the time for. So God, we want to lift these up. We want to lift up our partners, Eric and Yulia and Vlad, and for the volunteers that are going to be running the camps, for the families that came to the camp while we were there, for the families that have not yet gotten connected to Beginning of Life, but you know that they need that help, whether it's the physical provision or whether it's to learn of you, to learn of the hope that is possible in you, especially when we are connected to others that you are working through. Lord, we ask that you continue to multiply the fruit of what you planted while we were there, both in us and in them and in those kids, that you would remind all of us of the times that you met us and the further understanding of your truth that we learned, that we would all grow from this partnership and from this trip, Lord. thank you for your provision, for your safety that in this trip, and we ask that that extends to the families in Moldova. God, we thank you. You are so good. Amen.